This is Mountain News and World Report, WMMT's weekly sojourn into life in Central Appalachia. We now invite you to join us for a visit with folks you may or may not know, items of interest to us all, and shining moments in our living history.
Hello and welcome to Mountain News and World Report. I'm your host, Michella Phipps. This week, we bring you stories about community health from the ground up. First, we'll hear about a new bakery, which aims to provide Letcher County residents with healthy, locally sourced breads and baked goods while supporting drug court participants in their journeys to recovery. Then, we'll hear Wattsburg's very own Dr. Van Breeding speaking on a panel presentation at Apple Shop last week, in which local media makers, lawyers, and healthcare providers talked to students with the Harvard Kennedy School of Governance about healthcare needs in Eastern Kentucky.
Last week, people of all ages gathered at the Hemp Hill Community Center for a special event celebrating the launch of a new project, the Black Sheep Brick Oven Bakery. Gwen Johnson took a minute out of hosting the event to tell us more about the community center and the bakery.
I'm Gwen Johnson. I'm a volunteer at Hemp Hill Community Center. I was raised in this community, and my dad and all my people were coal miners.
And so what happens here at the Hemp Hill Community Center normally, and what's the special event this evening?
Normally we have music and dance and food and whatever, and if anybody wants to use our building for a class, to teach a class on something, for instance, Frank Sexton is teaching martial arts classes here now. So if anybody wants to use the space for that, we provide that for them, and people rent the space as well for family reunions, showers, that birthday parties, that sort of thing. So it's used a lot for that. But anytime anybody wants to call a public meeting, we give them the space for free, and the Letcher County Homeschooling Association uses it for all their socialization activities as well.
Okay. And so what are we here for this evening? What is the special event about?
Well, we recently got a $15,000 grant from Apple Shop. Apple Shop, a funder, had given Apple Shop some money for the Letcher County Culture Hub. And so the Letcher County Culture Hub, which is a group of organizations that we are an organization within, they voted that we have the money to build this bakery that we had proposed to build. And so we have the support of about 20 different organizations around Letcher County, as well as the support of Apple Shop and Roadside Theater and a lot of other folks. And I'm afraid to name names, afraid I'll forget somebody.
So tell me a little bit about the bakery and what the hopes are for it, and what its name is, and why it's named what it is.
Okay, well, we're going to call it Black Sheep Brick Oven Bakery. And so it will be a bakery that will be run by black sheep. Now, typically, black sheep are someone that nobody wants to hire, right? But we've found that some of the black sheep that have come through to us through the Letcher County Drug Court program have been extraordinary workers and eager to learn, and we have trained them, and they are very valuable to our calls here with our catering company that we've been running for about 2 years. And so they come to us getting their community service hours, and then we wind up, when we get a paying gig to cater, we pay them on a part-time as-needed basis to do that work, and they're extraordinary workers. So if we have a breakfast to cook and we say we're going to meet up at 3 a.m., they're here, Johnny, on the spot. Couldn't beat them with a stick.
That's great. So what kinds of things are you going to bake in the bakery? What's the dreams for it?
Well, our dreams are to turn out some brick oven pizza. And as well, we want to bake locally sourced bread made from locally sourced grains and healthier grains that we can typically get around here. And we want to use grain and flour that doesn't have GMOs. And so our dream is to, we just think we've got a deficit in our bread basket here, and we want to make it an abundant, healthy bread basket.
That's great. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
The evening included a delicious meal cooked by participants in the program, including some fresh bread and cake they plan to sell once the bakery's open. After we ate, there were speeches, performances, and songs. Gwen introduced a few participants of the program.
I kind of wanted to tell you a little bit about the project, but I wanted to ask my fellow caterers to join me up here, if y'all don't mind. You can lay your apron off and you can put on. You know, I can't take full credit for what goes on here because there's a lot of work goes on behind the scenes. And this gentleman right here, the one who baked the cake and was back there flipping grilled cheeses, he does a lot of work behind the scenes here. I can't take full credit for anything. And this crew right here has been amazing. So, if I can tell you without crying. Angie Haddon, you started this. Because she hugged me and she said, I don't know why I'm emotional. We have to find a way to help those who are emerging from incarceration. We've had a brain drain, and it's all in the Letcher County Jail and other penal institutions. And there's a brain drain, and we got to do something to combat that. And as well, we've got a deficit in our bread basket in Letcher County because we've not been able to get good quality bread made from ingredients that we trust. And so we're going to have our ear to the ground, so to speak, for the right ingredients. And we're going to see what kind of a collaboration we can have with the Letcher County Farmers Market and with the agriculture drive that's going on around here for fruits and vegetables, and see if we can't get some local and regional grain to make our breads from and mill them right here. We'll find a way to mill them. And we milled some of this that you all ate tonight in our Cuisinart. And so it can be done. We proved that. And so we'll be looking for better equipment to do things with. But I wanted y'all to see who cooked the meal that you enjoyed tonight. They're right here behind me. They got a couple of things. There's a couple of them willing to speak to where they're at and what's going on. And I'd like to invite Bradley Johnson to talk to you.
Well, I'm not very good at public speak, so hang with me here. My name is Bradley Johnson. I've always kind of had a problem with addiction. And so I moved away and joined the Army. And in 2007, I was deployed to Iraq. Afterwards, my addiction spun out of control. And one thing led to another, and I ended up incarcerated. I've been incarcerated for 34 months and just got released to the Letcher County Drug Court. And so there's a lot of requirements with drug court, and it's a really hectic schedule. So every morning you got a call line to see if you have to get drug tests. So normal employment is really hard to
maintain if you don't know your schedule or when you have to be at a certain place. So with the Black Sheep Bakery and the Hemp Hill Catering Company, Gwen and everybody here kind of works with us, and she really helps out. And, you know, with our backgrounds, even, you know, if we go apply for a job, there's not very many jobs, so there's huge competition. And our applications, when they see our background, it just goes to the very bottom, you know. So, and Gwen overlooks that and gives us a chance to prove ourselves. And I really appreciate the opportunity.
Is that awesome or what? Okay, Coco, step up here. This is Coco, and she's willing to tell you. She's got kind of a funny story. It's kind of sad in a way, but it's kind of funny. And now, the woman she has become is amazing.
And my name is Devin Beanley. They call me Coco. I've had a problem with addiction and alcoholism since I was about 13 years old. My family's are good people. I wasn't raised in it. It's just something I guess I was always black sheep of the family. I've been to institutions. I've been to rehabs. I've done just about anything you could think of. And March will be 3 years I've been out of jail. And drug court, it was like, I wish I would have done it years ago. It's a great program. It's helped me. They work with me. I'm legally blind, so it's kind of hard sometimes with a convicted felon and can't see good to, you know, do 25 hours a week community service. But Gwen's always good about it, the catering company, and everything she's done for us. I appreciate it. And I just get really nervous talking in front of people. But I'm just hoping that a good will come out of all this. I believe it will. Gwen works really hard. And I was going to tell you this little joke. Some of y'all might not know what I'm talking about, though. Okay. I was seeing in drug court, you know, where we had to go and see the judge. I walk up and he says, Devin, he said, how's it going at the community center? I'm like, everything's going just fine. He said, well, at least you're learning how to cook in a kitchen now instead of in your backyard. And he, everybody thought that was so funny. But he jokes with me. He knows I can take a joke. But I'm just glad you all came. I'm glad to see you all. I'm still in recovery. I'm hoping to be in recovery the rest of my life. I've got my, I moved out on my own. I got my son. Everything's been going real good. So I give a lot of it to drug court that bring me here to community service, and for Gwen and Miss Mabel and the others letting me do community service and to work in their catering business and now the bakery. So I just appreciate y'all for coming.
Okay, with that being said, I'd like to ask Robbie, if he can come up. Robbie Kinser. And Robbie works with these participants in Letcher County Drug Court. That's his job. And so he works with them diligently. Come on up, Robbie, and address the people if you want.
Hey guys, I'm Robbie Kinser, and I'm the supervisor of Letcher County Drug Court. And I just want to thank Gwen for allowing me to come up here and speak. And what the drug court does, we require three things out of our participants, and that's either be getting, you know, community service hours or employment or furthering their education. And with the economy the way it is and things like that, it's just so tough for anybody to really get community service or a job or things like that. And then when you add in that they're in drug court and they're in recovery, things of that nature, we have employers say, well, I'm not hiring those guys because they're in drug court. And I just want to thank Gwen because she's always been there for us. And anytime we needed to do community service for these participants, she said, you know, give us anybody you can get. And I want to thank the Apple Shop for providing this opportunity for these participants, because without these community agencies and things of that nature, our program just can't work. And the main goal of Drug Court is to provide these participants with tools to have a sober, happy, and healthy life. And without places like the Hempfield Community Center and these avenues, we just couldn't do it. So I'd like to thank you guys.
Before the weekly bluegrass show began, the Letcher County Shape Note Club led the crowd in a group sing-along.
Sunbed morning when this life is gone.
Contractor plans to break ground on construction of the new brick oven this month. For WMMT, I'm Rachel Geringer.
Next on today's program, we bring you an excerpt of Dr. Van Breeding's presentation to Harvard graduate students. Dr. Breeding spoke to the audience about his experiences of providing health care in Eastern Kentucky coalfields and passionately advocated for better health care access and insurance options for mountain people.
Our governor says that the Affordable Care Act has not improved our health care. Well, I can show you numbers that show we've had dramatic improvement with the health care in just 4 years. Our Medicaid population that got the affordable care, which was 20% of my Medicaid patients right now, their level of getting a physical exam or preventive health care was less than 1% before they got affordable care. They're up to 30% now, and we hope to improve that to 60% by the next 2 years. So they're getting not just health care, they're getting preventive care to help them be healthier people. And that's going to cut the savings and the cost of healthcare, because they're diagnosing illnesses earlier. We're treating things quicker. We're getting their blood pressure under control, their blood sugar under control, getting them in for their pap smears, their mammograms. We're getting their kids in for their vaccinations that they didn't have. We're getting them in for flu shots, pneumonia shots. We're saving their lives. We're treating their problems earlier. So we're making a huge difference. So when people or politicians try to manipulate the numbers, they're lying. The proof is there. We have the numbers. We've shown the numbers, but they don't want to hear that because they have their own agenda. Our agenda is one thing, the patient. We put the patient first. I treat every patient as if they're my family member, if they're my child, my wife, my father. All my patients have my cell phone number. So if you think, with all the patients I've got, that my cell phone would never quit ringing, they never call unless it's serious, because they know we have a lot to take care of. So they call when it's life-threatening, when they're scared, when there's something we need to take care of right away. Otherwise, they come to the clinic. So our patients are in great need of more health care and more benefits, but we see the politicians and turn their backs on these patients that are desperate for care, creating more barriers, creating a work barrier. You know, the governor says now that our patients who get Medicaid, expanded Medicaid, are going to have to work. Most of my patients are already working, but the ones that aren't are taking care of children or medically frail, have a lot of reasons. But where in our area with unemployment as high as 18%, are they going to find a job? You know, we asked the government, where are they going to work at? Oh, I don't know. You find a work. So we did. We knew this was going to pass. We knew our patients were going to lose their insurance. So we created a mentorship program. So our patients that are going to lose their job, going to lose their Medicaid right now, we've already identified the ones that we're going to, brought them in, coached them, and we're putting in training programs to help be mentors for diabetics, mentors for high blood pressure. Who better to talk to somebody else in the community than somebody who's culturally like them, who sounds like them, who has the same problems they do, to teach them to take better care of themselves? The guy that Valerie's talking about, who dropped his A1C from 14 down to 6 in 8 months, by going to the farmer's market and eating a lot of okra. He credits the okra, and he may be right, because it really worked for him. But he's now one of our main mentors in teaching our diabetics. So we're using these people who got affordable care, who got better health care, who became healthier to teach other people to become healthier. And we've never had that before. And so it's all new. Before 2010, we did almost zero preventive health care. It's all just sick visits. Now we're turning our practice in, probably at least one third of our practice now is preventative health care. So we're able to make that changeover because we have more funding to do it. But without funding, you can't make people healthier because you can't break those barriers down. So one thing to take away is that we can't sow changes unless we have the ability to make those changes, and it takes getting people insured, and it takes time then to be able to change them over to make them healthier. You can't just dump money in and say, get healthy in 1 year. It doesn't happen. It takes time and training. We're working hard on that. We need more help. We need your help. We need your insight as policy leaders in the future of people who are interested in medicine, who are interested in people who don't have the proper access to care, to make sure that healthcare isn't a given thing for the rich who can afford it, but something that's a right for every single person to have in a country as rich as the United States. How can we have money to spend on building all these projects and bridges and roads and monuments, but not have enough money to provide basic health care? And if you don't have basic health care, what kind of workforce are you going to have? What happens when Kentucky takes away dental and optometry benefits for the Medicaid population, and my patient can't see to work, and they get a job at Sykes working on the computer, but they can't read the text? What happens when my patient loses dental care and gets infection in their mouth and leads to infection in their heart and has to have a heart valve replaced, and now they go back on Medicaid to pay for $1 million procedure that could be prevented by a $50 cleaning program at the dentist? So we can't let politicians take away health care from people that need it. We have to be proactive. We have to have voices here in Harvard, in Washington, all over the country to speak for these people who have lack of access to care and to provide them that kind of access they need. We've got the clinic capacity to do it with. We just need more doctor leaders to be able to push the emphasis. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to make all my doctors become not just doctors. Don't come to work at 8:30 at the clinic and then at 5 o'clock go home and watch TV and take it easy. Get out, come to forums like this. Go to the community health centers. Go to the community centers. Get out and preach what we're doing. Show people what we're doing and tell them why it's important. And take that away. Take that back with you that this is important. And don't just come here for a one-hour meeting, and I don't want to take all the time, but come back. Come back. Come back. Spend a day. Spend a week. Spend a month. Move here. Move here. You know, people like Mimi, like the Apple Shop, they have changed us. Before I knew about the Apple Shop, I was in a culturally isolated group that we didn't know all the things existed. I'm fortunate that through learning through them and working my community and being a leader and being a community advocate, I have raised three daughters now. I was raised as a staunch conservative, diehard Republican, pull the log cabin lever every time, straight dip, hate Republican Party, to raising three female activists who are marching in Lexington for women's rights this weekend, and believe that you have to give everybody the opportunity. And that kind of cultural change is what's happening here. It's just like Mimi's program with birth control. We have to open eyes. We have to make changes. We have to make the difference. And if you want to be able to make a difference, it may be harder in Boston, it may be harder in New York and LA, but you can come here and you will make a difference today. One day here, you'll make a difference. You all are making a difference here tonight because you are here to hear what we're doing here and hear how much more need that we have. But they can all tell you the same thing, and I'm gonna stop before I get started. But we need to focus on those who don't have a voice. And that's what I try to do. My patients don't have a voice. I had a leader from UK come one time and said, well, if you get a VIP patient, call me from my cell phone and I'll make sure they get good care. So he gave me a cell phone number, so I proceeded to call him up every day that year. Every time I sent a patient to Lexington, I called him up and told him it was a VIP patient. And he finally caught on that all my patients are VIP patients. And they're all going to be taken good care of because I'm going to demand it. So we have to have more people demanding good care for people.
That was Whitesburg's own Dr. Van Breeding speaking to students at Harvard's Kennedy School for Governance who visited Apple Shop last week. That's it for this week's edition of Mountain News and World Report. Music on this week's program is of the Letcher County Shape Note Club, performing at Hemphill Community Center last week. If you'd like to hear this or other episodes again, you can find them on our website or download our programs wherever you get your podcast. I've been your host, Michella Phipps, and from all of us at WMMT, thanks for listening to Real People Radio. This has been Mountain News and World Report, a production of WMMT-FM, Mountain Community Public Radio, the non-commercial broadcast service of the world-famous Apple Shop in Whitesburg, Kentucky.